We're in Matthew chapter 3, toward the end of chapter 3 there, on verse 13. And we'll read through chapter 4, verse 11. It says, when Jesus came to Galilee, to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot upon the stone. And Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So here we are in verse 13, you know, and Jesus would say to him, then Jesus came from Galilee to John to be baptized. And John would ask him to, you know, and Jesus would ask him to be baptized. And John would reply, to prevent him, he would say, I need to be baptized by you. You know? And that would be our response, right? If Jesus came to us to be baptized, we would say the same thing. It was Jesus' first appearance on the scene here. He wasn't compelled by anybody to go and get baptized. It wasn't out of religion that one would get baptized. But matter of fact, most Jews wouldn't get baptized because it was a sign of their faults, you know. So most Jews, that wouldn't be even the case. They wouldn't even think about it. But here's the Jew, Jesus, that would come to get baptized. Why? Well, it would say, I need, you know, he would say, I need to be baptized by you. Right? Why do you come to me when you're the Lord? I set it in action. I told everybody about you. I called everybody to repentance, and now you come to me to be baptized. It didn't make a lot of sense to him. There's somewhat of an irony here that maybe John just was pondering and couldn't quite figure it out. And because he thought of Jesus and he said, here's the Son of God, that he would come to me to be baptized. Why? He didn't need to repent from anything. He was sinless. So why would he come? Verse 15, he would say, but Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so. You know, a lot of times Jesus will come to us and he'll say, Fred, permit it to be so. It doesn't all make sense to me, you know. Doesn't all make sense to me. You know, when the Lord speaks to our heart, we might say, well, Jesus, doesn't make sense to me, Lord. And he might say, Fred, you know, permit it to be so. And here he says, John, permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So why would Jesus need to be baptized? What was the purpose in that? Like we said before, he wasn't coming because he needed to repent of his sin. That wasn't the reason. But he did say here that it would be fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, implying that it wasn't an option, but it was necessary for the plan of righteousness to be fulfilled. But why? Why was it necessary for the Lord to come and be baptized? The purpose here, I believe, is that he could identify with us, right? Because as we get into chapter 4, we'll see that some of the things that he experienced, we experience as well. So it was to identify himself with sinful man. Verse 16 through 17 here, he says that when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. You know, it was to identify with us sinners, for sure. But as he came out of the water, it says here that the heavens were opened to him. There was access given to Jesus, to the heavens. And the good thing is that we have access to the heavens through Jesus. It says in Ephesians 2:18, it says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Kind of an interesting thing there, that Jesus would think of us, that through his baptism that there would be access given to us to heaven. It says, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and alighting upon him. A couple things here is that within this we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. Another significant thing is the dove, how it came. Came in gentleness. Right? The Spirit of God is gentle. It's not something that necessarily knocks you over, but it's gentle. Because it wants to compel us to be more like Jesus. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but I just remember back in my time on the floor, and I'm probably going to experience it soon here at World Kitchen, right? Is back in the days when guys report to you that are on the floor. And I remember saying to a particular guy that didn't like me too much, right? And he would argue with me, and I remember him, his approach was not like a dove. His approach was a little more stern and very in-your-face kind of thing. And I said, what would you think if I took out a gun and pointed it in your face? What would be your first reaction? And you could probably visualize that for yourself, right? If somebody did that, you'd have a couple different reactions, right? You know, one might be that you want to run, which could be, if you're faster than a bullet. Or you could defend yourself, right? And that's what happens a lot of times. If we're not approached gently, we don't respond gently, right? That's just the nature of our beast, in a sense. So when the Holy Spirit came upon us, being that it was God, it gives us a perfect example how we are to approach people. He approached the Lord Jesus as a dove. Is gentleness, right? So often I think it is our approach on the streets. If we have success on the streets witnessing to people, how we do it. You can be the one that stands on the corner and says, repent, and you're going to hell and all this stuff. And I don't know. It might get you there for some people, but 99% of them won't even talk to you. Right? Won't even acknowledge you. Matter of fact, they'll get angry enough at you that they'll discredit the Lord. So we got to be careful in our approach. Is our approach as if it's like the dove? That's the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit was manifested, like a dove. And then it would say, and suddenly a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So not only did the Lord come in and get baptized in a sense to identify with sinful man, but he also came to be introduced by the Father. His Father was introducing him to us. "Here's my Son, and I'm well pleased with him." Right? An introduction to us that we can either meet him. We don't have to, but boy, the Father wants us to meet him. He wouldn't introduce him in such a way. Right? So the Father introduces the Son here. And it's wild because once Jesus comes up, it's not the... That's not it. Okay, he's identified with us. He's been introduced to us. But now... That would be good, you know, if somebody came up to you and said, "Man, I know what you mean. I know how you're feeling." Right? But if they had no, if that's all it was, is that it was an action from the lips, it wouldn't mean a lot to you. Right? It's not until we've seen it in somebody's life that we say, "This person can identify with us. This person has been through what we've been through." Right? So I think in chapter 4 here, as we read through this, we'll see that God's identification with man here was not just verbal, but it was a physical, it was a spiritual identification that he would have with man. Because he would experience the things that man would experience. But I would think that it would even be to the next level. Beyond what we have experienced. Now, hopefully you'll get what I mean by that. But it says here that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Had some of the same things happen to him that we have when we're filled with the Spirit. You know, it doesn't mean that life is all happy now. And we have no problems, and we don't have to worry about anything, but, right? But that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Sometimes we're led in there. Have you ever been in the wilderness? And you wonder, "Why, Lord, am I here?" Right? But Jesus was led into the wilderness. And I believe this is a severe temptation that he had because... As we'll know who the tempter is here. See, we're not tempted by Satan himself. We're tempted by his demons, which are lesser than him. He instructs them. He tells them who to go get, but this is the devil himself that's tempting Jesus. Says, and then when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." So Jesus here would be tempted by the devil himself, and he would appeal to him through the flesh. He would give him these fleshly kind of temptations. And it says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Because he's hungry, remember? Right? And when we're hungry, we want to take care of them pains, right? When we're tempted from sin, with sins, Mark, behave. When we are tempted, right? Whatever that sin is, whatever that thing is in our lives, we want to satisfy it, right? That's a temptation of the flesh. In Jesus' case, he was hungry. He said, well, if you're who you say you are, if you're the one that was the creator in the beginning, then you should be able to do this. You should be able to command these stones here to become bread. And you'll notice the second word of chapter 3, or verse 3 there says, now when? It's not a matter of is he going to? It's a matter of when is the tempter going to come into our lives and tempt us. Right? Just as he tempted Jesus. Folks, sir, if you haven't ever been tempted before, you haven't been watching. Right? Because we've all been tempted, right, by the demons, by the devil himself, you know, where he comes and tells his demons, hey, go mess with Mark, you know, go mess with Karen, you know. It's one of those things that it's not if he's gonna, it's when he's gonna. And we got to be prepared for that. We got to recognize his tactics. We got to recognize that he's going to take advantage of some of our fleshly desires. He's going to take it, he's going to try to get us to into things that we perhaps struggle with. He commands that the stones become like bread or become bread. You know, the temptation to take God's gifts that he has given us and have some selfish motivation for him. Right. Could God, could Jesus take those stones and turn them into bread to fulfill his hunger? Of course he could. Can we take our talents and what the Lord has blessed us with, our skills, can we take them to turn them into something that is self-motivating? Of course we can. That's where he's going to attack us. When he knows, when he puffs up, when he starts puffing up and saying, you know, JP, you're a good guitar player. You could probably go down the street to the Methodist church and they'd probably even pay you for that. And that's the truth. And I want to use that example because I've seen it happen before to those that have them gifts. They can go someplace and get paid for them, so they will. Why? Because it's a motivation of the self. It's a motivation of the flesh. We got to be careful. We know ourselves. We know what we're weak in. And he does too. But this is what Jesus answered here. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's important that when we're tempted by Satan, that hey, we know the word good enough that we can go back to it and say, no, you know, the Lord wants me to live by his word, not by my desires, not by my flesh. He doesn't want me to walk in the flesh. He wants me to walk in the spirit. How does Jesus battle Satan himself here? He battles him by the word. You know, common theme, right, that we've been trying to get across here is that, you know, we've got to be in the word. We've got to be in the word. We've got to teach the word. We've got to do the things of the word, right? We've got to know the word. We've got to know it. We've got to study it. Right? It's not just the pastor that studies, it's the people that study. Why do you study? Because you're prepared for the battle. Right? I think James says, study and show yourself approved. Well, what are you studying for? You're studying to show yourself approved for the battle that's ahead. Right? So that when the enemy comes in and whispers those things to you, that you're able to go, no, that's not of the Lord. I know better. God's word says this. So we need to battle with the scriptures. God's truth. We can't be ignorant of it. Verses 5 through 7 here. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. So he appeals here to pride. Right? First he appeals to the flesh, and he didn't make the way with Jesus through the flesh. So he decides, let's take him to the pinnacle of success. Let's raise up his ego and tell him something. That if he had only look, you can own all this if he would listen. So he takes him up to the top. If you are the Son of God, it says, throw yourself down because your angels are going to rescue you. And Jesus says, no, you shouldn't be tempting the Lord that way. So he quotes scriptures. And of course, you know, if we look at them, both of them quote scripture. One quotes it in context, and the other one doesn't. So it's important, again, that we understand the word, that we understand what it means. We understand the context of it. I think, sadly, many of us today that say they believe don't know the word. And it's okay if you're new not to know the word. But we don't have any excuse. We need to be in the word. We need to study the word. We need to show ourselves approved for battle. And so the Lord again emphasizes here that he has written his word, and that he has used the word again to fight off, to fend off the devil. Sometimes, you know, I think I was telling on Thursday about the gentleman that helped me get the job, and he asked me if I had this Holy Spirit thing going in my life. And we laugh about it, but you know what? There's many, many people that want a spectacular experience in the Lord. They said, oh, we want to experience the Holy Spirit. We want this experience, a spectacular experience. And it's all about experience, right? But I think of Romans 5:8, it says, But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, God died, or Christ died for us. You want something spectacular? You want something miraculous? That's where it is. Right there. That's miraculous. If you think about God taking this guy and turning him into somebody that he was able to use, that's miraculous. To take somebody that's sinful, unrighteous, that is going to hell, right? Yet he takes us and he renews us into that new creature. He redesigns us in a sense. Maybe he doesn't necessarily redesign us, but he takes out the stuff that has maybe limited our design, right? So the appeal for pride. Verse 8 here, he says, Again, the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain, probably Mount Hermon maybe, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Maybe Mount Everest. I don't know. Someplace very, very tall. And their glory. He showed them everything. Right? Because, see, the pride, Jesus didn't have a problem with pride. Right? Well, first of all, he created it all. Right? So if he wanted to, he could have snuffed out the devil right then and there. Right? But he didn't. Because he gives us this choice in the matter. And then he tells us how to make sure those choices are good by giving us his word. He says, but I can give you all these things, the lust of the eye. So first he says, here's the lust of the flesh. I'll try to satisfy the flesh. And if that's not good, I know man's pride is weak. He's weak to it. So I'll try that. And if I can't appeal to that, I'm gonna do the visual look. Remember Lot and Abraham? When Abraham decided that they needed to divide. And Abraham was so content in the Lord, he said, you know what? I don't care where the Lord puts me. You know, I'll just go there. Right? And he gave Lot the choice. So Lot looked out, and it says that Lot saw that it was good. Right? And that's what we do sometimes. We look out and we think, wow, this is good. How bad can this be? I mean, come on. Right? How bad could this be? They just gave, I just was reading in the paper the other day, Catholic Charities just got, was given $15,000 from the city. Right? How bad could that be? Come on. But what good is it? It's going to be used for the flesh. Right? It's not going to be used for anybody's spirit, anybody's prolonging their eternal life. What good is it? Right? But so he couldn't get him through the flesh or through pride, so he appealed to his eyes. He looked at it and he said, this will get him. I'll have him look out over all the earth, all the world and their glory, all the things that shine, and that'll get him. And so he tries to get Jesus to take that step. Says, and he said to him, all these things I will give you. If, you know, there's always with the devil, there's always something, isn't there? There's always something that you have to do. Right? If you want to go to heaven, I'll tell you what, you guys all can go to heaven if you come to church. You tithe. Right? You do this and you do that. That's good. You take the sacraments. See the devil always gives you these things that you have to do in order to see all the kingdoms. Get all the kingdoms. He tempts you with this, but it's a deceitful thing. Because he's a liar. He's a cheat. He's deceitful in all that he does. You will fall down and worship me. He says, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything. Would he? Nope. We'll talk in Daniel chapter 11 on Thursday. And we'll talk about Ananias' epiphany. He made some deals with the Egyptian king, and they thought it was good. He believed him. It was a covenant. But as soon as that covenant disagreed with what he wanted to do, he broke the covenant. Sound familiar? It's the Antichrist. It looks like the Antichrist. It's the devil himself. He's a deceiver and a liar. He won't hold true to his bargain. Even if we were to do this, he wouldn't hold up his own bargain. Even if Jesus fell to this deceit, he wouldn't have held up his bargain. He probably would have pushed him off the peak, right, of that mountain. So be careful, because he's going to say, I'll give you all these things I'll give you all these comforts if you buy into worshiping me. Because ultimately, see, the devil don't want any of you guys. He doesn't want any of you guys. No, he doesn't care if you even get thrown into the fiery pit eventually. All he wants is that you worship him. He wants all the glory. Right? So that's what he wants, and that's what his aim here is to get. And then it says, then Jesus said, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Knowing Scripture, knowing his word, knowing what God wants us to do, right? Then the devil left him because he knew he couldn't. He couldn't get to him, you know. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee, right? He'll flee. See, when the devil leaves us, we've won. When the devil left them, Jesus won. But these were severe temptations that Jesus experienced. It wasn't something like we go through that we call temptations sometimes that aren't necessarily. Sometimes we get in trouble, you know. We say, well, we're going through all these temptations or these trials. The devil's just, he ain't doing anything. He's just letting you do your fleshly thing. Right? But he will throw out a temptation here and there because he knows you're weak in it. Sometimes it doesn't take much for us to go the other way. So when we look at this and we look at Jesus' baptism here, we look at it as his identification with man, with sinful man, yet he was sinless. We also see that it was God's introduction for us to know Jesus, to ultimately come to know Jesus. That we also saw that Jesus would have access to heaven, and that this dove would come down and would be gentle and give him access, the Holy Spirit. Then we see Jesus being tempted after the baptism. You know, we first get saved, man. We're like, we want to be baptized. Do you really want to be baptized? Because when Jesus was baptized, man, he was hit with this temptation of lust to the flesh. You know, the pride of life and then the lust of the eyes. Do we want to be baptized? Certainly, I think it's something that the Lord wants us to do to show how committed we are to him, for sure. But there comes something with it, you know. We could experience attack from the enemy because he doesn't like it. He wants to pull us away because you know why? Because we're profitable. When God saved us, when he's cleansed us from our sins, we are profitable for the purpose of Christ. We're profitable for the kingdom that he wants. We're profitable for the worship that Satan wants. Right? We're profitable for the kingdom. And what's our defense to battling against Satan and his scheming demons? The Word. It's all about the Word. It's about getting the Word into our lives so that's a foundation for us. So when we battle, we don't battle against flesh and blood, it says. It's a spiritual battle. We got to battle with Satan with the Word. That's the one thing that will fend him off. How do we resist the devil? With the Word. We resist him with the Word. We don't hang around and be tough guys, but we flee, James says. Jesus is the tough guy. We're not. We just need to fend his demons off with the word. In a sense, convince yourself to follow after the Lord. And then allow the Lord to battle the demons. Battle Satan. He's the destroyer. He's the one that can secure us. So know the word. Be in the word is the encouragement. Amen.